everybody, and welcome to Fantasy Outliers, the podcast brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com, the team that's trying to help you use data to get better at fantasy football. I'm Dave.
And I'm also Dave.
And welcome back. We made it to another podcast. Dave and I did not break up the band after one podcast.
No, we're still together.
After all these years. So just to recap last week we talked a little bit about value in fantasy football and the way that we kind of calculated it at Fantasy Outliers. So if you're interested in hearing a little bit about value in the draft, how to think about how players kind of relate to each other, you should check out episode one, the newest one. So we've been thinking about some other, you know, as we can continue to get people ready for the upcoming season and continue to talk about some kind of big picture ideas about how to do well in fantasy sports. One idea that we hit on this week is the idea of performance. And Dave actually is working on an article for our website about, about overall team performance. We're going to talk about a couple of other things, but I think when you think about getting your team up and running and making them work and figuring out if they work well, it all boils down to the idea of how well are you performing week over week.
Right. I think, you know, as fantasy owners, we're always trying to kind of maximize the performance of our team. But we don't have typically don't have a lot of information on what that actually means numbers wise.
Like, yeah.
Obviously you want to score as many points as you can per week, but how many points is actually enough to win?
Right.
You know, win your week.
Right. Yeah. And I think that it's interesting because I know that I've looked around for this kind of data a couple of different times when I've been doing fantasy football, and it's just like, why can't someone tell me how much I'm supposed to get at each time? Or because I know that I have a team, for example, in one situation last year, I had a team that I felt like pretty good about that was 0-3, and we're putting up, number of points,
right,
and I kept losing.
You
and
feel
I was like
you're crushing and you don't know why you keep losing. Like, is this?
Yeah. And I'm not sure, am I supposed to be losing?
Is this team good enough, or is it, or am I just like super unlucky? Like, what's happening here?
So we're going to talk a little bit about overall performance like that. And then we'll talk a little bit about individual kind of position performance later on after that. So Dave's been working on an article called How Many Points Are Enough? That basically the idea was trying to give people answers to that question of how do I know if I'm putting up enough to be competitive on a week over week basis? How do I know if I'm just getting the short on the stick, if I'm, you know, probability is just getting me, or if I'm really, my team is really underperforming, I need to do something to fix it. So I think the first concept we should talk about really quickly here is what we did was we looked at win probabilities at given point totals. So we went back into our big set of data that we have in MathBox, Chris Jr., you know, the algorithm, and took a look at different point formats. And a couple of different insights fell out of that. But the thing that's really interesting about it, I think, is that you can see pretty quickly that there is correlation between big jumps and the chances that you'll win at certain waypoints throughout this kind of scoring tally, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but keep in mind, we're talking about the chance you have to win, because there's always a chance that you are just going to get screwed by somebody who has an incredible week off of our good old friend LeGarrette Blount off the bench or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there are hundreds of leagues being calculated here, going back years. So,
for example, the data set for 10-team standard leagues, which we're going to talk about first, I think is around 1,000.
It's 1,043 or something. It's a lot of data. It's enough data that you'd be pretty confident that this is...
We're willing to put it on a podcast.
Right, we're willing to put it out there. We think it's solid. So, if you look at 10-team standard leagues, if you score about 71 points, your win percentage is about 20% on average.
So let's think about that for a minute. That means every value of points scored under 70 points is less than 20% chance to win. So every time that you've gone out there and had two guys get injured and put up 60 points and won, you were an 80% dog in that fight, which I think is kind of crazy because it happens all the time
when
you see that matchup and blah, blah, blah. So that's why I just want
to
emphasize again, this is about probabilities. It's about the chances of things happening. Always something can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But 71, if we want to feel comfortable saying, hey, we're starting to see something that makes sense percentage-wise being a chance to win, at 20%, it's 70 points. So the reason that we wanted to start at 20% chance to win is not because we think that that's a goal that you should have, or we feel like it's just kind of, you know, a convenient place to start. The reason is that that is the bottom end of where win percentage gains per point scored start to spike, essentially. So below 70 points, there's kind of this gradual decline from 70 points to 0 points being 0% chance to win, 70 points being 20% chance to win. It's a very like slow gradient to, into oblivion.
Yeah. That's the loser's bracket. Right. Anything below 70 points is you're pretty much going to get hammered. Done. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even bother thinking about it. Once you get to 70 points and 20% chance to win, all of a sudden the increase spikes strongly until you get to 80% chance to win. Yeah.
It's actually pretty steady. You know, every point you score raises the percentage chance that you're going to win equally.
Right. Exactly. Cause it's a straight line basically.
Yeah. And that continues all the way up to about 110 points.
Right. Which is 80% chance to win. So the thing that's interesting is that it's really tight in there. It's only a difference of between 70 and 110. That's only 40 points difference, right?
That's
check kind my of, math, but I'm pretty sure yeah, that 110 minus 70 is 40 points.
That's kind of like the battle zone of fantasy points scored per week. It's like that's where almost all of the points, that's where almost all the data is.
Right.
It's in that range.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense too, because generally when you see somebody...
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, but when you see somebody on your league, like I think intrinsically, and you see that they scored less than 70 points-ish, you start to go... That was a pretty bad week.
Yeah. It's I like this because it maps pretty well to how I feel about those point ranges.
Right. Except it does. It's the thing that's great about this too, is that it does give us like hard boundaries for what those are. Right. Yeah. Where before it was kind of fuzzy and it was like, hey, maybe 110 is good. Maybe 115 is really good. Maybe 120 is really good. It's really 110.
Yeah.
Is kind of the top end of the range.
Yeah.
Now, why would we say that 110 is the top end of the range? Well, similarly to below 70 points, being a slow decline into nothingness, above 110 points in a 10-team standard league is this sort of area of diminishing returns.
Right.
Where, you know, in some games that I play, that would be called the win more area, where you're already winning, but every action, you know, every point that you're adding there is not adding the same amount of value to your expected win.
Right. You're not getting as much below. For it as right. you were in the range below 110 to 70. So right. like, for example, you know, if you're lucky enough to score 140 points in standard, you're probably going to win because your win percentage is in the 90s, right? I mean, you're way up there.
Right.
But for every, you know, touchdown you would score at that level, your win percentage actually doesn't go up that much. Right. You've kind of already got it locked down.
So that's why we kind of put those barriers at 20% and 80%. Now, it's tough though, because both of those are pretty hard to shoot for. Like shooting for 110 points every week in standard scoring is pretty high.
Yeah.
And while it's great to know, hey, I guess if my team is scoring more than 110 points every week, I don't really
you're going to be fine.
I'm going to be fine. I don't really care. Yeah,
like, duh,
blah,
guys.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, I know that already. So the last point we want to talk about really quickly is what's the middle point? Like, what is the spot where you have a 50% chance to win, basically? And the magic number there is 90. Now, 90 points, I think sometimes in standard feels like an actually kind of a hard goal to get to. Sometimes that's a team that I would actually expect to have a better than 50% chance to win in my experience.
Like in my fantasy playing brain, I would feel like that's a pretty decent score.
Right.
I would expect to win a little bit more than that.
Right.
Like you can typically sometimes get to the playoffs and with a team that scores 90 points.
Yeah, exactly. But it turns out that what that really is a team that basically has a 50.5% chance to win. That's right on the border of where you are a projected winner instead of a projected loser. So for me, I think when we start to look at when we look at this data a little bit more, what if I would feel much more comfortable shooting in the kind of like 60 to 65 degree.
Yeah, you want to have percent. Obviously, zone, you want to be better than 50%.
Right.
So where's that comfortable number?
Right. And it's right in between 95 and 100 points scored. So interestingly, maybe not a surprise to some people, but I do think that the thing that again is surprising to me is that in order to be a pretty good heavy favorite in your league, you need to be scoring somewhere between 95 and 100 points.
Yeah, that seems to be the safe range.
So from here, one thing that we'll talk about really quickly too is we have the same data here for PPR. And the really kind of fascinating thing about this is that it's not, you know, PPR, the difference between PPR and standard is, of course, you know, it feels significant, I think, to a lot of people. But when it really boils down to it, when you look at it, points scored versus win percentage, basically it's kind of, let's take all the points scored numbers that we have and add about 15 points to them. So if it was 70 at 20% in
standard
in 12 team PPR, it's 85.
Right.
Okay. It actually maps directly to a 15 point difference.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting about this is that as you go up in win probability, that number of difference between PPR and standard actually goes up a little bit, but it's not super significantly. So at the high end of it, it's the difference between our 80% chance to win in standard and our 80% chance to win in PPR is 19 points. So in PPR, it's 128 points, put you as an 80% favorite to win, which is pretty great. And then finally, that midpoint that I would just throw out really quick, 50% in PPR is 106 points. Funnily enough, I feel like I would have thought the difference was a lot bigger because I feel like when I play PPR and I only put up 100 points or 105 points,
you feel like you're at a significant risk.
I know
lose.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
But it's weird that in the standard one, I didn't feel the same way and the same probability.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. Maybe we're playing in the wrong league.
It's just me. I mean, it's just like some bias that I have. So I think.
Right.
A reminder, like what we're really trying to do is show you a bit of information that can help you get rid of the biases that you have. So when you're thinking about your team, when you're thinking about how's my team doing right now, how's my team doing week to week overall, you know,
it's important to separate out what your luck is based off of who you're playing and how your team is actually doing.
Right.
So if you're playing 10 team PPR and you're putting up 100 points, and you keep getting crushed, you know, that's fine, actually, because you're only slightly above 50% in PPR.
Right.
But if you're putting up 128 points
and getting crushed,
you just had bad luck because you should have an 80% win rate.
Right. Stay the course.
Yeah.
Keep going in a situation like that. So I think that from here, you know, what we've talked about, another kind of investigation that we've done is going back and looking at the same leagues and seeing what happens with this kind of idea across a full season. So one thing that's really interesting about the win percentage is you can translate that to the amount of wins that you would expect to get in a given year based on performance over time at a certain point value, right?
Yeah, this is where it gets even more interesting, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that so the benchmarks of, hey, what does it take for me to get in the playoffs? What does it take for me to be a team that comes in first place? Is actually kind of surprising in a couple of different ways. So one is that the difference between the number of wins that get assigned to different rankings, standings, let's say at the end of the year, between PPR and standard is actually not that, there really isn't a difference between those things.
No, you're talking about the difference between like a 10 team standard league and a, say, a
12 team
PPR. Yeah, the number of wins you would need to get to come in first place is actually basically
close to the same,
almost identical.
Yeah, and basically that number is 10 or 11 wins.
Yeah.
If you want to try to win your regular season, most times if you have 10 or 11 wins, you'll get there.
Yeah, the actual number is just a little bit above 10.
Right.
But obviously you can't have 10.2 wins.
Yeah, 0.2 wins. But that was really surprising to me that and maybe it shouldn't be, but that idea that the format actually doesn't seem to matter too much.
It's super consistent between all scoring types and number of teams in your league.
Right. Now, the thing that I think is really different is the, given the way that people's playoff settings work, the bubble in a league can be vastly different. So, you know,
what do you
Dave
mean by
the
bubble?
Well, the bubble is like the person who just barely didn't make it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and what that leads to is there are a lot of people who play in leagues where only four people make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who play in leagues where,
six
people make the playoffs. And that's where there's kind of a big jump between the two different things, because it turns out that if you are going to try to get into sixth place in a couple of these leagues, on average, there's actually a player that gets to sixth place with six wins, which means they have a losing record.
Right. 13 week season.
Right.
They only have six wins. They're below 50%.
50%. So in leagues that let six people in, a lot of times that sixth person has a negative,
That's kind of a generous league, I feel like, but. You know,
well, I mean,
a lot of people
play
like
that.
Our league is like that, actually.
Six teams. And I think that the reason that people do it is because it's the only way to give people in first and second place a bye in the first mm-hmm. round of the playoffs.
Right.
Right. So what's really interesting, you know, if that happens, is that we can now go back and talk about the data about, hey, if you want to win your league, have a good percentage of getting to that 10 wins, how many points do you need per season? If you want to try to get to that six wins, how many points do you need per game, basically. If you want to get in fourth place, you basically need something between 7 and 7.5 wins. So you need 7 or 8 wins going into the playoff to get in fourth place most of the time, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm.
And if you cross-reference that with that win percentage.
Yeah, it's interesting because it links right up to it. And they actually stick at the exact same brackets that we were talking about earlier. So if you look at where do we cross the line into being 10 wins, 10.5 wins, it's right at that same 80th percentile win percentage.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in the case of standard scoring, it's 110 points.
Right. There's your target.
Right.
I mean, that's a number you kind of need to remember and shoot for. And that's like your baseline of I need to win my league.
Right.
I need to score.
I'm shooting for the stars.
I'm going to try to score 110 points each week. On average, you should basically be able to win your league with that.
In first place. Win your regular season.
Yes.
Depending on how your league works. Everybody does it different. Yeah. Win the regular season, 13-game regular season that way.
So what about scraping into the playoffs? Say your team is not as good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to win the regular season, but you know, what do we need to do just to get into the playoffs?
Right. And that is 50% win rate, basically, which means you need to score in standard scoring around 90 points a week. So again, this is that number that Dave and I were talking about being uncomfortable with. But the expected value of that number is that you would have 6.6 wins. If you want to get over 7, that's where you get back into where we were talking about. You got to score between 95 and 100 points a week.
About 95 and 100, yeah.
Yep. Now, there's all kinds of stuff that happens with this, matchups-wise, you know, injuries, randomness, all kinds of stuff. But the basic benchmarks do work out and they are pretty consistent like that.
Yeah. You know, every year is different and every league is different. Some leagues are super competitive. Some leagues aren't. You know, you can scrape into the playoffs with a losing record sometimes. And sometimes a couple teams just pull away.
Right.
And you just, you know, you're going to have to get 11, 12 wins to win.
Yep.
And it's just not, it may not happen for you that year, but that's how it goes. These are, you know, the numbers that we're talking about are taken year after year, you know, hundreds of leagues, and this is all just a big average. So,
right. So I think the thing that's interesting about this again is just remember a couple of things. Basically, standard scoring, it's a 70, 90, 110 rule. If you want to be in the battle zone with everybody else who's fighting for the best chance to win, between 70 and 110 is the spot where most people will be. It's where you will be most of the time as well. And it's the place where every single additional point that you get is just going to make your team a lot better as far as adding win percentage on a weekly basis. So the, when you're somebody who's sitting in the mid 90s and you get a chance to get a free agent who has a great start or something like that, and you feel like it's going to kick you up 4 or 5 points in a given week, that actually makes a huge difference. If you're the person who's cruising at 110 points, you probably don't need to play those kind of lineup games,
right?
Because it really doesn't add that much to your, to the chance that you're going
to
win.
Yeah, you don't need to disassemble your team if you're
to try to get that extra stuff.
Yeah,
maybe then you take a more conservative approach. You're sitting there, you know, if you have somebody who's injured, like don't drop somebody who's going to be valuable later in the year because you're already doing about as good as a team can do.
Right. It speaks to team construction and overall season long strategy.
Right.
You know, once you understand how good your team is, or how bad your team is, you will know how aggressively you need to play or how conservatively you need to play.
Right. So 70-90-110 rule for standard. I'm going to call it a rule.
It's a guideline.
It's a guideline. Let's call it a rule, really. And then 85-105-125, let's say, for PPR, even though it's really closer to 130 at the top there. So that's it. That's great for talking about team construction and win probability and things like that. So next we're going to talk about what you have to do to think about individual position performance. So win probability is great, but I think it's still hard sometimes to figure out how to translate that into kind of real world events. I mean, we all play this game because we enjoy watching football. We like watching the results come in, and they're still connected to events that actually happen. And so one thing that we were thinking about with this too is, you know, let's take a look at some of the common events that happen in a fantasy football game and show you how much it actually changes your win percentage. Cause I think you'll be surprised by how much it does.
Yeah. So if you're sitting there staring at your phone as you're watching your game and hoping your point total goes up, and you can basically, for every point you score, fantasy point you score within that, say for standard scoring, between that 70 and 110 range where the percentages that it goes up is fairly consistent,
right,
you can count on about 1 2/3 points, percentage points, increase
gained
in win probability per point scored.
Right. So that doesn't sound like a lot when you think about it in the by itself, one tiny point, 1 2/3 points. I don't want to think about fractions of points, but I think when you start thinking about the events that those actually add up to, it's pretty cool.
So if your kicker kicks a short field goal worth 3 points,
right,
3 fantasy points, you have about a 5% win probability increase.
Right.
And so consequently, like a passing touchdown in standard scoring, it's 4 points.
Right. Is it 4 points in standard?
I think so.
Points standard for us, I will say. You know, I think that makes... This is a different topic for a different day, but I think it's much more interesting
to have a 4 point passing touchdown. Okay. So if your passing touchdowns are 4 points,
right,
and you get one, you have about a 7% win increase in that range. So extrapolate that out. Receiving TD is a little over 10%. It's
right,
about 10.5% in that range.
Yeah. I mean, I think
increase in win percentage.
And the thing to keep in mind with that too is that, you know, when we calculated these percentages, they're the same for standard and PPR generally. You know, 6 points is the same percentage increase ish within a bracket as in standard. But a receiving touchdown in a PPR, you know, that 10.5% that Dave just talked about, it doesn't include the point for the reception.
Right.
It doesn't include any of the yardage associated with the touchdown
itself.
It's
just the 6 points.
It's just the 6 points. So if you get someone who gets a big, you know, big touchdown, or a running back who runs, you know, because it's the same 6 points for a rushing touchdown,
a big, you know, play could be
huge. Big play could be huge. It
20%.
Could be 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on its own.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, you know, guy has a big breakaway play, and you know, well, let's just say for every 100 yards gained receiving or rushing, you know, you're between 17% and 18%
right
win percentage increase. That's a lot.
Yeah. So if you, let's say that you're going into your afternoon games and you're kind of like, I don't feel that great, I'm not in Dave and Dave's middle of their zone yet, I'm at the bottom end of the zone, I've only got 40% chance to win, and one of your running backs goes out and just puts up 100 rushing yards with no touchdowns or anything like that, that would potentially move you from like a third to win to 50-50 just on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So it really makes a huge, huge difference when you're in that kind of middle area the points distribution.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the one of the overall conclusions is just kind of how close some of these are. I mean, if one big play can move your win percentage up 20%,
yeah,
that's gigantic. I mean,
absolutely,
it's only 40 points between 20% win percentage and 80% win percentage. It's not that much,
right? So one thing I want to say really quickly about win probability too is we know that there is another factor involved in this, and that's your opponent's win probability. Pretty tough for us to figure out a way to kind of update both of those in relationship to each other in real time or something like that. So keep in mind, we totally understand that their scoring factors into this stuff as well, but these are still good guidelines for you to gauge your own team's performance absent of what your opponent does, because let's face it, you can't control what your opponent does. It comes down to the decisions you've made and trying to figure out if you've made good decisions or not. Yeah. And so a lot of what we talked about today between win probability distribution, the week, you know, the expected placement, given what records you get, those are all about the things that you can control within the game. And sometimes even when you're, like we said, even when you're 85% chance to win, you still lose 15% of the time.
Yeah, that happened to me. I remember one particular week last year. I was in a PPR league and I scored, I mean, I had the best week of the year. I scored 180 points.
Yeah.
And the guy was playing. And
me?
I was like,
you mean?
It was you.
I think it was me.
I think it was you. I think you scored 184 or 186 or something. I was furious.
There was definitely another time the previous year during Devonta Freeman's breakout year where I think, and this is PPR, I think you put up 200 and I put up 210.
Yeah.
Or
why
something.
Does it keep happening to me?
I just love to troll you, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, previously I was like, you know, how, I was thinking like, what is the chance that I would put up this many points and still lose?
Right.
Well, you can calculate that.
Turns
now.
Out we haven't calculated.
Turns out we can actually figure that out now.
Yep. So thanks for joining us for this overview of kind of weekly performance and how to evaluate it and how to plan your season and figure out where you're going, how to see if you got a good team, if you got a bad team, if you're a lucky person, if you're an unlucky person, try to figure out who the real you is in fantasy.
Yeah. And if you want to learn a little bit more about this, you can read the article that's up on medium.com. We can reference some of the charts and you can look at it, check through the win percentages, all through the ranges that we talked about, not just the benchmarks that we referenced here.
Mm-hmm. The article is called How Many Points Are Enough?
That would be good for people to know.
Dave wrote it. Yeah. Dave wrote it. And, so thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, if you have any ideas for topics, if you have anything that you'd like us to try to use our math tools to try to figure out to sleuth for you, you can reach out to us at podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. And what we'll be doing for the next, you know, little stretch here is we're going to keep focusing on general kind of insights that we've discovered from, you know, investigating the data set that we have until we focus later on this summer on talking a little bit more about specific players, projections, things like that. But for now, we're going to keep it high level. We're going to keep thinking about things like value, performance, the world, other things. Thanks for joining us. This is Dave signing off.
Thanks for listening.